Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and for all of you gals that are listening today, I think you're going to find my guest extremely fascinating, and I know that you guys may be sitting there with your ears perked up and listening, too. Our subject this afternoon is going to be PMS. Now, this is something that so many women have suffered from. And who knows for how long. I think ever since the menstrual cycle started with women, something like this has affected them. And my guest today, Pauline Lay, is a woman that is bringing to light some insights and understanding regarding this that I think are very insightful. Pauline, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Very honored to be with you today.
Now, where are you located?
Well, right now I'm talking to you from upstate New York. It's called a small town called Plattsburgh. But I am from Montreal, and I travel back and forth because my sweetheart lives here. So I practice in Montreal 3 days a week, and I'm here 4 days a week.
Wow, you can't go wrong with that kind of a wonderful, wonderful interaction. You're going to be in the best of what I consider both worlds.
I agree.
Absolutely fabulous.
Yes.
Now, you're a medical professional, and I'm going to give my...
No, my dear Donna, I'll stop you right away.
Oh.
I am a psychotherapist with a background of social work and a master's in transpersonal studies.
Right. So I stand corrected there. Now, you do have a background in transactional analysis, as you've just stated, neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
You have also become quite knowledgeable about emotional freedom technique, hypnotherapy, and past life regression.
Yes.
So you've gone through quite a bit of training, but I would call it almost like a cross-training of so many different areas. What was it that made you decide that you wanted to explore so many of these arenas of different thought?
You know, I don't know. I guess you must be aware and a bit learned in the archetypes.
Yes.
Okay. I have a very strong detective archetype within me.
Interesting.
And, of course, it started with my own research and my own desire and quest to understand who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I guess, if I do my own search and my own healing, it meant that I explored a lot of avenues because every one of them procured me and helped me in unraveling stuff and understanding myself deeper and better. So, of course, in a very selfish way, I did all this training for myself to begin with, but it became such a beautiful toolbox to help my own clients.
Now, I like the way you stated that. It's become a toolbox.
Yes.
So that you can reach in and utilize whatever tool may suit the need of that individual
yes.
as it is deemed appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely, and try to reach them at their own level.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's very, very basic, and it's just one little step by little step, and some of the times I meet somebody who's very well-versed and very well, or differently, should I say, evolved, and then I can talk in a different transpersonal manner, but I try to adjust to where the person is.
That, I think, is one of the greatest skills any effective communicator
so.
Can have.
Yes, I think so, too.
I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, the cover of your book, which I think is just beautifully done.
Thank you.
And your book is titled, My Beauty and My Beast, Mind, Body, and PMS.
Yes.
I, being a female, I just, the conversations regarding this have ranged everything from mild to the horrific.
Mm.
And I know you have heard it all.
Yes.
Oh, you think you do, and then somebody comes up with something new, I'm
yes.
sure, every once in a while. But PMS, tell us what your definition of PMS is.
Okay, my own definition is I cover everything from the woman who, in my book, had no menstrual cycle at all for a year and a half to another woman who was, for months, bleeding a little bit every day. to the woman who has migraines, irritability, mood swings. I call them compensatory behaviors, shopping sprees during that time of the month. I cover any, just about anything, except, of course, not being a medical background. If a woman, for instance, would have something that is congenital or some kind of a physiological handicap, then, of course, I would never dare, you know, try to do something with this. But if a woman appears to be healthy, and many times women have come to me and said, well, my doctor says there's nothing wrong with me, but I know there's something wrong with me because I'm not happy, or I'm PMSing, or I got these bouts of anger, I could kill everybody around me, mm-hmm. or whatever. So then I can really look at them and help them.
Now, there is a biochemical reality with this physiological change that occurs with women. Again, through the years, there's all kinds of variations. There's just
yes.
not one pat, this is what it is. But it does. It is very, very strongly associated with cycles with a woman's body. And it also affects the mature woman that's going, it's not just the young woman, but it's the mature woman sometimes.
Yes.
Who has gone through menopause.
Absolutely.
And these cycles are constantly going on. And, of course, women are living so much longer today, and a lot
yes.
of doctors are scratching their heads and saying, oh,
uh-huh.
gracious, what
I
are we
agree.
Dealing with?
I agree.
And it's a whole new world. Let's go into a little bit what you talk about, your first impressions and influences. And you quote Deepak Chopra.
Oh, he's one of my best, beautiful mentors.
Now, one of the quotes that you give of his is, we create the illusion of non-choice and thus are born our attitudes, our beliefs, our behavioral patterns to situations, to people, to things, to circumstances. And these attitudes, these beliefs, these behavioral patterns then lead all the events, to all the events in our life. The role of language is that it shapes our beliefs, our attitudes, and our behavioral responses. And language constitutes the building blocks of material, physical,
yes.
material, materiality. And language is information and energy. Our thoughts are also sounds and information, vibration, and memory. Talk to us about first imprints, because that is something that affects every living being on this planet.
The first imprint we have, of course, is from the mother's womb. And I call sometimes, I explain to my clients that we are at least three levels. We're the conscious, the subconscious, and what I call in my own language, the supraconscious.
Mm-hmm.
Conscious is I know I'm eating. Subconscious, I may know why I'm eating. Sometimes I don't know why I'm eating or I'm having a craving. And supraconscious is I don't know that I don't know. So I'm stuck with my ignorance of not knowing something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When people come to therapy, they come with a symptom. The symptom or the same symptoms for different women will have a different imprint. Am I too Chinese here?
No, I don't think you're too Chinese. I think each of us have our own level of experience, and
yeah.
what you're saying is symptoms, which can be for the female, it can be cramps, it
yes.
can be
migraines.
Moods, it can be
migraine.
Headaches that
yeah.
are just blinding.
Sure.
Just a number of things. Those are what I call common terms
yes.
with description.
Yes.
But then after that, you get into who the person is, and
absolutely.
Then it's different.
Because some women might have a similar symptom and have a similar background,
mm-hmm.
but some others will have almost identical symptom but have a totally different background.
Mm-hmm.
But what is so important is for people to understand that we all have an imprint, and then we all have a way to decipher that imprint and a way, a manner in which we build our own protective mechanism, our own self-defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is where it becomes so intimate. The same woman or man who has been in a very dysfunctional family one will become a saint and the other will become a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some power, and most of the time we're not aware of that power. And this is what I've been trying so hard in with my book, to try to convey to women. They have so much more power than they ever dreamt of.
Oh, I agree with that. And I think often the imprints that are made upon us by other women, good,
that's
bad,
true,
or indifferent.
Absolutely.
It can be family members.
Sure.
It can be, you know, perfect,
yes,
stranger. It,
yes,
is something, and this goes across the board.
Yeah.
I think anybody that is listening would say, gee whiz, this, you know, this can be something that men experience as well as women. That's true, but we're addressing PMS here, and women particularly,
yes,
because of their menses, there's all kinds of junky stuff out there that is dumped. And
totally agree.
And it's centuries old. I love the story about the woman cooking with tomato sauce.
Oh, isn't
this
that
is
neat?
Just a hoot.
Isn't
you've got to
neat?
Talk about that one. That is absolutely marvelous.
Yes. I think so, too. That woman, very well, as a matter of fact, she was not a client. She was a dear friend of mine. She had even worked for me for a very long time. And she came up with that one at one point, and I just could not comprehend it because it was way before I started to do my own research. And then, but it came back to me, and I rekindled it and said, tell me again what this was about. She said, I can't understand it, but I understood as she started to explain it to me. I said, wait a minute, this is a very intimate story here. She was a very, you know, full-fledged homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a moment in a woman's life that I get enough of cooking,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I consider that the PMS moment is some kind of a trigger. I often see that, and I'm sure you have also, Donna. A woman will become so-called beast at those moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because they're becoming a beast. It's just because the unresolved issues are really culminating and really accumulating to become, whew, a volcano explodes. So if you have unresolved issues about sadness, you may cry a lot. If you have unresolved issues about being frustrated, you're going to have a mood swing, or you're going to be retaliating, or you're going to be bitchy, or whatever. It all is pertinent to your intimate life.
Mm-hmm. With this story, though, I've got to finish it.
Go,
it's
please.
The fact that she said that you could, when it was told to her, that a woman should never cook anything,
yes,
that had tomato sauce in it when she was in her menses.
That's
and
true.
I said, oh, please.
You're right. I was forgetting that part. You are right.
It is. It, to me, that was so funny. But there are so many levels of ignorance, and it is in many different cultures.
Yes.
And depending on what your cultural background is.
Sure.
I mean, you look at many cultures that in Africa, that a woman, when she was in her menses, she had to be in a different house. She,
yes,
had to, you know, she was unclean. That was,
absolutely,
a term that was often applied to her.
Yes.
Well, when you think of it from certain perspectives, the sanitation of the moment, you know, we have so many things that we utilize as women to stay fresh and clean when we're,
yes,
going through that cycle,
mm-hmm,
where the body is doing the rejuvenation internally.
Mm-hmm.
But we go through that. And so that's very important. And when you're living in certain environments, you're not going to do it. It's just like the reason women often didn't go hunting is because if they were in their menses,
that's true,
you were in danger. You,
that's
could
true,
not take women hunting with you because you would then become the predator.
Absolutely.
It could be smelled.
Oh, yeah.
So you have all of these different things that go on, but nobody talks about that.
That's
they make
true
up all this mumbo-jumbo, and then it's passed down for generations because then it puts a label on women. They are unclean. They're not healthy. They're dirty. There's this or that. There's the other.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the subconscious earlier. And boy, that gets in there. And there's all kinds of misconceptions that I've known people to carry for almost their whole life. How do we get around that? How do we change,
yes,
the habits, the conscious or subconscious, and the way we handle those points of ignorance? How do we get out of that muck?
I think one big trigger for this humanity or this planet, Donna, is suffering. The minute that either men or women realize that they're fed up of suffering, they usually start doing some searching. But for some reason, it feels like we need to be pushed to the end. We need to be pushed to the wall. We need to get it to extremes before we wake up and say, hey, wait a minute. Could there be something that I have any power over? Can I change something in my life? Can I look at it differently? Can I investigate differently? But until people are really profoundly fed up, they keep on enduring.
Mm-hmm. I think you've made a very good point there. There just seems to be that propulsion. And those that are not willing to explore usually languish. And
yeah.
Those that are then say, what the heck? What have I got to lose?
Exactly. That's true.
So I'm going to move forward. You make a statement which I think is a very true one in your book. And for those of you who are listening, we're talking about Pauline Hulé's book, My Beauty and My Beast, Mind, Body, and PMS. This, I think it would be great for a guy to even read this because there is so much insight into the female. But
yeah.
Women themselves often need to give themselves this opportunity to explore who they are.
I agree.
And you say, in order to understand our own history, we must understand how it was created through the people who lived before us and who surround us. And that's just what we've been chatting about.
Yeah.
Is what goes on around us. And to be able to think as an individual, wow, that's a big wake-up call. Because then you start to question, just like you've said. Okay, let's talk about human history a little bit. Let's take a look at Yasmina.
I was just having her in my mind. My God, you read my mind. That's funny.
Oh, I love it. Anyway, here's Yasmina. Tell us about Yasmina.
Yasmina is, I think she was in about late 30s, and she came for a quite debilitating migraine during her menstrual cycle. And, of course, I don't need to be a medical doctor to ask somebody, okay, do you eat well? Do you do this? Do you do that? Any vitamins? What surrounds your menstrual cycle? So she was very healthy in many ways. The only thing that we finally found and she woke up to is that, hey, my mother always had a migraine. And this is what I call genetic behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not genetic and blue and blood in the sense that it's passed down through your genes, but it's passed down to an imprint. Mom had migraines. I love mom. I'm her daughter. So therefore, I'm going to have migraines too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was much more in her case, and she was also a hard worker. And what we did together is that her homework was to become conscious of what the headache was trying to convey as a message. It was either she was pushing herself, or either she had done too much, or she had to ignore that she should have relaxed during the 3 weeks preceding her menses. It was something to do with what I call the working hard woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like the woman who has triple and quadruple tasks, and the mother, then the spouse, the cheerleader, the coach, the this, the that. So they have multiple tasks, and many times they just don't stop to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
So in her case, it was really a work too hard type of thing. Plus, my mother had it, so it's normal for me to have it. Just taking it for granted.
Now, yeah. She did resolve this, though. She did resolve.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes.
Now, how did she resolve it? By becoming consciously aware of the patterning with her mother?
Yeah. Yes. And in the sense that the minute she started to have a little inkling of a migraine, she said, whoops, wait a minute. What's my body trying to tell me? She became much more in tune with herself in the sense that she used her symptom to understand that she was receiving a message. Instead of acknowledging the message and say, okay, that's normal, I have a migraine. Say, wait, okay, whoops, I'm starting to have a migraine. Wait a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
What do I really feel that I'm ignoring?
I think a quote in your book that just fits right with what you're talking about is by Barbara DeAngelis.
Mm-hmm.
She said, in order to conquer a hurt or a pain, one must heal it, and in order to heal it, one must feel it.
Absolutely. I adore that.
And
yes.
Then you make the statement afterwards, we're the result of a myriad of limiting beliefs, of learned behaviors. And it is our own ignorance that contributes in perpetuating this result.
Absolutely.
You have so much wonderful information in your book, My Beauty and My Beast, but it's not just that. You also have a workbook that goes along with it, Pauline. And I'd just like to thumb through it for just a moment here, because you have right at the very beginning what you call Commitment to Healing My PMS. So this is a very personalized workbook for the individual. And it doesn't belong to anybody else. It's between them and God.
Yep.
And it, you say, this is the day that I, the person puts your name in, engage and commit myself to find my healing and understand what my PMS is really telling me. They put down the date, they sign it, and from now on I will become aware of the messages my PMS is really sending me. I will work each time at becoming aware and conscious of the messages my body is relaying to me through the symptoms I experience. And you have, you've got a guiding factor with this workbook, because you really want those people that will be getting this to understand that this is their journey, this is their personal experience, so that if they've been going through very oppressive patternings of PMS, and even if it's not so oppressive, if you just say, I am sick and tired of these patternings here, then you've got this workbook. What I like is that you've given plenty of pages in it for people to write in.
I hope so.
Yes, and you go in asking questions about, you know, what we might want to examine in our life, what we want to look at if we have fears. You have what you call mind mapping, which is neuro-linguistic programming and related to that. And you have so many different ways for a person to take this journey for themselves. Now, your book is loaded with so much information. Why did you, in addition, not only do you have the workbook, but you also have a CD that goes with it?
The reason why is probably because I have a tad of perfectionism with me. But mainly, Donna, I was wondering, if a woman is really far from me and she may not be able to or afford to maybe contact me or come to me, I thought, is the book enough to help her really go through it step by step? And I had doubts about that. So I came up with the workbook because I thought this can become just a fantastic journal. And through my own studies and transpersonal studies, something that totally fascinated me is to do a life biography, autobiography. And it revealed and helped me do stuff that I had not done even in therapy myself. It was a different connecting moment, a different connecting level. This is why I made the workbook, because I know that there's a different healing on one-on-one. There's a different healing between a book and a person.
Oh, that's
And there's
so
a different
true.
Healing between writing.
Absolutely, because writing has that connection with the brain. And you had mentioned at the very beginning when we started chatting how you had the detective archetype for yourself. And I loved how you used that one could become the Columbo or Perry Mason of the mind. Perry Mason's one of my favorite shows. I just love that show. Always have.
And
it's going into rewiring our brains. It's, you know, so for so long, and even today you'll still hear people say, doesn't make any difference. You got the neurons. This is it. Toots. You're not going to have anything else. And that's a lie, because they are finding that the brain can rejuvenate itself. They're discovering so many things. So here we are with a topic that usually is considered taboo.
Yes,
it is not taboo, but it is an opportunity for a woman to take this journey with herself. And she can, you know, if she wanted to do it through therapy, fine.
Sure.
If she also wanted to just become friends with you and your book and your workbook, then she's going to enjoy discovering some things that she never really perhaps knew were possible to discover.
I think we're so much brainwashed. Take a pill, like my friend says, who's a medical doctor. He says, women have been brainwashed, you know, take your Mylo and shut up, or take your Motrin and shut up. And we, and I even, somewhere in my book, I relay the fact that there have been, I've been informed that it's some physician's office, I don't know if it still happens, but years ago, there was this pamphlet type of thing telling women, well, listen, there's about 70% of women who suffer while having their menses, so it must be normal for you women to suffer.
That figures. That's about the mentality you'd expect.
Yes.
Because they haven't gone through it.
No.
This is so wonderful. Because as a woman, you are discussing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband has often said, and I agree with him totally, he said, I can no more understand what goes on with a woman physically in certain respects than a man on the moon, because I'm not a woman.
Absolutely.
He said, it's just like a woman can't tell me how I should feel when I'm getting examined for a prostate.
Absolutely.
So he said, can you understand it? Say, heck no.
No.
He said, well, that's it. He said, women have to communicate with women because they understand this. Well, Pauline, this is just wonderful. I think what you've done is significant.
Thank you so much.
Be successful with it. Pauline Houlet is my guest. Now, Pauline, you have a website. Actually, you have more than one, but let's give out a primary website to my listeners.
Very good. For women, mainly, it's quite easy. PMSCrampRelief.com.
CrampRelief.com.
Yes. And if men want to explore, I have www.menandwomenonpms.com.
Men and, is the word and spelled out?
Spelled out.
Men and women.
Plural, on PMS.com.
On PMS.com. Well, guys, there you've got a site to go.
There you go.
Be educated. Gals, you've got PMS Cramp Relief, men and women on PMS.com. And my guest, Pauline Houlet, her last name is spelled H-O-U-L-E. She has this wonderful book, My Beauty and My Beast, Mind, Body, and PMS. Pauline, it's been wonderful having you as a guest.
Mutually, and I really hope that this helps women. They deserve so much better.
Yes, they do.
And thank you.
Educating ourselves makes the difference. This is Donna Siebel, and we will be taking a break for just a moment. Don't you go away now. We will be right back.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. By the way, Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, I would be delighted to do that. All you have to do is call me, if you're in the U.S., on this toll-free number, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, the toll-free number is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. You know, we were talking just a moment ago about women, PMS, things like this. Stress is such an agitator. Well, I came across some interesting information, and this is not necessarily new. You may know something about it, but they've often found that with children, dependent on their positioning in the family, that there are simple stress levels that they seem to go through. I don't know that they're so simple. Perhaps that's not the right word. But they're very interested always in exploring how children are treated differently according to their birth order. And Clifford E. Isaacson, he was involved with putting some information together for a book called The Birth Order Effect. And he said, this is the prescription we recommend for individuals that are in certain levels in the family. And they say, if you're the oldest child, often the stress level has to deal with perfectionism. And why is that? Well, when you're the first one out in front, you are going to be having to do everything just right, aren't you? It's expected that you are going to be perfect. You are supposed to pay attention to everything that's going on. And usually you're encouraged to achieve because you're the very, very first child. Well, as an adult, often we have carried forth those demands, and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. So what Kevin Lehman recommends, if you are one of these firstborn that feels like you are a perfectionist, then what you should do is make a list of your best attributes, and you need to keep it stashed somewhere, maybe in your wallet or your purse, so that whenever you're feeling a little bit under the weather and that you haven't done everything just right, pull that list out and look at what your right attributes, your good attributes are. And then you just sort of relax and say, well, maybe I didn't get something just exactly right this time, but that's okay. I'll be able to do it the next, or I'll just move on to something else. And, you know, it's interesting. They found in the research that twins and triplets, they tend to choose their own birth order roles. Now, I don't know how they figured that one out, but that is a statement they make also. Now, if you happen to have been a middle child, your stress trigger is you're often trying to please everybody. Often you end up being like a diplomat, and you seemingly are always in the middle of things because that's your status, and you really become quite skilled at knowing how to compromise, how to listen. And you want to make sure that everybody around you is pretty much going to be on an even keel. So you need to remember, you need to give to yourself. You need to do something nice for yourself every day, whether it is giving yourself time for privacy, giving yourself time to read. Maybe it's having just that quiet moment with a bit of chocolate and a cup of tea or coffee. You need to remember to do nice things for yourself. Also, if you're the youngest child, you might have a stress trigger of being out of the limelight. As the last one in line, you grow up with everybody pretty much paying attention to you. And you know another side of that, too, is they don't worry about you so much, especially if you have, obviously, the other siblings in front of you. The parents have gotten to a point where they go, oh, good grief, I've been through this before. I'm not going to worry about you so much, kid. So you just really, you know, there's a couple of things or a few things going on there. And you miss the attention. You don't like being out of the limelight, and often you get restless when you're not at the center of things. So you need to do something that's going to allow you to feel very special, where you will be in the spotlight. Maybe you need to take drama or dance class. A psychiatrist, Jane Calhoun, said any activity that allows you to bask in attention is sure to keep your stress down. And by the way, they have found that if you're an only child, often you're feeling overwhelmed. And when you're growing up, you were the only one that was there. You were the only one that was being the focus of attention with your family. You didn't have to fight with any siblings. And often, when you haven't had that, you think that the outside world is pretty chaotic and very stressful. Well, you need to schedule a break. And children without siblings often require solo time each day just to focus. And according to Jean Calhoun, she said she recommends at least 15 minutes of quiet time a day, listening to soothing music, meditate, reading a book, doing something for yourself. Now, there is another thing they've observed with children. If there's more than a five-year gap between siblings, each child will likely have the personality of an only child. Now, why this happens? Who knows? But they're so far apart in years, they already have their own identity and they're already doing their own thing. So they don't, resemble a first or a youngest child in a family in those patternings. They establish their own. So I thought that was a bit of fascinating information. And, of course, anyone that's had kids, whether you've had one or you've had 13, yes, people still have large families, believe it or not. There's always stories to tell and stories to share. Kids are their own unique persons. I mean, I don't care how much you try to program stuff, you're going to still have those wonderful, wonderful personalities that are going to come through and just let you know that they are who they are and they are going to have a very interesting and a very unique life. Now, again, if you want to call me today and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do so. Toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Also in Canada, it's at 888-810-8322. When you call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, we'll just let it roll, and then you can ask me a question about anything that you would like. Now, day before yesterday, I promised you some information on some super snacks. I know this weekend is going to be party weekend for a lot of you sports lovers out there. Well, if you enjoy doing parties, sometimes we don't want to go the whole full dinner routine, and we just want to have some munchies and snacks that people are really going to enjoy. So I've got some chili chicken wings here and also some cheesy fries. And these are things that young and old enjoy. They're easy to fix. You're not going to have a big mess in the kitchen. And if you plan things well in advance, you can have the pans ready and everything ready to go, and bingo, it's going to be a happening. So get that pad of paper and that pen ready so that you can be able to write this down, because they are pretty quick. In fact, again, chili chicken wings, I got cheesy fries, and I think that's pretty much about all that I'm going to have time for today, but then I'm going to have some other things that I'm going to want to share with you, so let's go for that. But before we go in for that, I wanted to share some health information with you, and this has to do with some berry juice, and perhaps you've heard about it, perhaps you've heard about a remedy that has been, well, the term is goji. And the goji berries have been used by Chinese herbalists for over 6,000 years. And it's been known as the herb of longevity. And if you snack on them, they really are good for you. Well, if you stop and think about berries are very, very high in antioxidants. And so this is something that is very positive. And the fact that it's been known in Chinese medicine for over 6,000 years tells you that people long time ago realized that they had to have certain nutritional factors in their diet. And that's not always comfortable for us to associate, because our lingo today, we have certain words that maybe they didn't have 6,000 years ago, but common sense is common sense. And I know among the native Alaskans, they try to dry and preserve as many of the wild berries that they possibly can get. And that's been going on for centuries, because that's part of their vitamin C supplementation in their diet during the long winter months. So peoples around the world have often been aware of whatever has been in their environment. And so this is something that I think is good to know about. Now, goji berries have several times the antioxidant power of blueberries. Now, the USDA research group has revealed this. They said antioxidants are the key to neutralizing cell-damaging free radicals that age you. And the goji's antioxidants start to halt aging within 6 hours of the first dose. Also, they find that goji berries stabilize blood sugar as effectively as eating fiber-rich beans or brown rice, and it helps to keep the blood sugar in check. In fact, it helps to prevent, even sometimes reversing, insulin resistance, which is the first step on the path to diabetes. And the liver, it benefits the liver. It promotes glutathione, a key compound needed to quickly break down and excrete harmful chemicals such as pesticides and herbicides. So these are things, you know, that help the body heal itself, which is very good. Also, polysaccharides stop the growth of cancer by helping the immune system destroy abnormal cells. And then it's an anti-inflammatory. And what's in the gojis is called superoxide dismutase, and it's called abbreviated SOD, and it can neutralize pain and block cell damage caused by arthritis. In fact, when people drank the juice daily, their blood levels of this powerful painkiller skyrocketed 40%. Now, you can get the dried berries. Now, the antioxidants are preserved in the dried berries, or you can have juice. But like anything, if you have the berries fresh, then you're going to be getting a lot more of the polysaccharides in the juice than you would perhaps from the dried. But regardless, things like that make a difference. So berries make a difference, and those little goji ones, they do a good job. This is Donna Sebo. When we come back, I'm going to have those yummy recipes for you, and we'll be able to share that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And if you want to chat with me, give me a buzz right here at 877-876-5227, or if you're from Canada, 888-810-8322. We're going to be back in just a few seconds. Oh, don't want to forget, we're going to be talking with Swanee Hunt on Monday, Half-Life of a Zealot. This is a woman who has done more with money than I think her family ever dreamed she could possibly do, so you're not going to want to miss it. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're coming right back with some of those super snacks.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's U.S. 877-876-5227. For those of you in Canada, you can call me at 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Now, I want to be sure to mention that March 23rd, 24th, and 25th, I am going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show in Seattle, Washington. And I know that we have listeners all over the country. And for those of you in the state of Washington, the hours for the show are 10 to 6. This is an awesome event where well over 40,000 women come out and just have a great time during those 3 days. They have speakers, of which I'm going to be one. And there's going to be a presentation I'll be making every day. There's just a lot going on here. It's great for the gals. And I don't find many men brave enough to venture in, but that's okay. You guys are welcome if you want to come too. Again, that's the Northwest Women's Show in Seattle, Washington, and I'll be giving more information as we go along, but I want to start letting you know about that. Also, next week, we've got wonderful guests. We're going to be talking about the half-life of a zealot, and that's Swanee Hunt. This is a woman of very prominent positioning and has decided she was going to tell information and stories about her life and how she has gone from one level, one positioning, what she thought she was going to be into becoming an international person. This is fascinating reading. Then we're going to be talking about cholesterol. Dr. Janet Brill is going to be with us on Tuesday. And then Dr. Yarema is going to be talking about Ayurvedic cooking on Wednesday, Eat, Taste, and Heal. Then we're going to be talking with on Thursday with Saul Silas Fathi, Full Circle, Escape from Baghdad, his own true story. Fascinating. Then we'll get into talking about antique jewelry. Lee Leshner is going to be my guest. She has been my guest before, and she's just delightful, very knowledgeable about jewelry, everything from the batik type of jewelry to anything that you could imagine. It's just absolutely wonderful. Okay, if you got that pen handy and a pad of paper, here we go. Here are a couple of super snacks. This is something that is a win-win for just about everybody. And if you're wanting to have something that's good, now remember, these recipes can't be doubled, they can be tripled, whatever is your pleasure. But what I'm going to be giving you a recipe on is going to serve 8 people. So that'll give you the base to begin with. Now, let's start with the chili chicken wings. You're going to want to heat your oven. And for both of these recipes, by the way, your oven is going to have to be pretty hot, about 450 degrees. Now, for the chicken wings, in a large bowl, you want to take a package of chili seasoning, 2 tablespoons of ketchup, and 1 tablespoon of hot pepper sauce. Now, that can be according to taste. If you really like them blasting hot, you can have a portion fixed with the hot, so you can just add more hot sauce if you like. So again, that's 1 package of chili seasoning, 2 tablespoons of ketchup, and 1 tablespoon of hot pepper sauce. Then you want to take 3 pounds of chicken wing sections. You want to cut off the tip of the chicken wing. You want to toss it away. You toss your chicken wing sections until they're coated, and then you want to spread the mixture in a single layer on a jelly roll pan and bake it for 25 minutes or until no longer pink near the bone. Now, that's how simple it is. Cleanup suggestion here. Line the pan with foil or this new edible, it's called a liner. It's a food liner that you can put in so you don't have a heck of a mess, because when this stuff is cooking, the sugars in this crystallize, and so you'll have one big cleanup mess. So remember, you might want to take that and also spray the area that's going to be cooked with your nonstick cooking spray. Now, what goes with this? How about 3/4 of a cup of ranch salad dressing and 1/2 a cup of sour cream? Mix that together. Sprinkle something, maybe a little paprika or some chives over the top of that, and you just serve those with the wings if people like to dip those chicken wings. I promised you a second recipe, so that's your chili chicken wings. Real, real easy. Cheesy fries. Now, what you're going to want to do with this is line a jelly roll pan with foil, and again, coat with cooking spray. You never want to forget those things, because cleanup after this stuff can be a real dog if you don't do it. And then what you want to do is spread 1 package of frozen country-style steak fries on your pan. Those are the big, chunky ones. And you want to sprinkle them with 1 tablespoon of salt-free steak seasoning, and then you want to put them in the oven and bake them for 20 to 25 minutes until they're golden. Then you want to, in a microwave-safe bowl, you want to combine 1 cup of Cheese Whiz and 3/4 cup of salsa. And you just microwave on high for about 2 minutes. You must stir it every once in a while while it's getting heated. And then you want to serve it with the fries. And you can sprinkle the fries with some cilantro. Maybe if you wanted to use a little paprika, you could do that too. But these are 2 real easy, easy recipes. And if you want to round this out, then you can have a nice salad, tossed salad, and have a selection of dressings on your table. But remember, lots of napkins and those handy wipes. Hand wipes are really good to have when you're serving this kind of food so that people can really enjoy themselves. And, I was telling the person that's assisting me with the show, Michelle, that I might, if I had enough time, give out pizza nachos, because nachos are just loved by so many individuals. Now, for this one, you can preheat your oven to 350 degrees for the nachos, and you want to have a jelly roll pan again, and you want to spray it with cooking spray, and you want 10 cups of tortilla chips on a pan, and you want to top them with 12 frozen meatballs that have been thawed and sliced. And then you want 1 cup of sliced pepperoni. And then if you're like me, you might want to take some chopped jalapenos. I know that's not Italian, but anyway, this is what I would probably toss on it. But regardless, you have your 12 frozen meatballs, thawed and sliced, and a cup of sliced pepperoni on top of the 10 cups of tortilla chips. Then you want to top it with one jar of pizza sauce and one package of shredded mozzarella cheese, 8 ounces more if you want. Then you want to bake that mixture for 15 minutes or until the cheese melts, and then you can top it with olives. I love jalapenos. I love sliced jalapenos. So even though this is Italian, I'd throw a few of those on just for flavor and spice. But it's up to you, whatever you'd like to do. But this is so easy. And again, it serves for 8 people. So if you're going to have 16 people, double it. But if you've got a bunch of kids that are going to be in your home, especially this coming Super Bowl weekend, you might want to fix up a little bit extra. But just know that it's easy. It's only going to take a few minutes. And if you have those extra bags of chips in, hey, they're getting their meat, they're getting their dairy, they're getting their fiber, depending on the types of chips you buy. So it's good stuff, real good stuff. So those are super snacks for this super weekend coming up, or for anything that might be on your mind whenever you want to party. We're always looking for things that we can do that makes life a lot easier. Well, I thought I would share with you a story about a young woman who... Well, she just has an incredible life. And Donna Middlebrook was really going through a lot of sadness. And the sadness was for her daughter. And her daughter's name is Stephanie. And Stephanie had a stroke after she was born. That's hard to believe, but babies can have strokes. And she ended up with cerebral palsy. And Stephanie was so weak, they never thought this child would ever walk. And, the problem she had, she couldn't talk, her muscles just didn't work, and Donna was just so distressed over this. I mean, how agonizing could that be for a mom and dad? It would just be horrible. However, Stephanie did something that was unexpected. At the age of 2, she took her first step, and then she took another one, and she started walking out at the age of 2. Well, she was able to finally start to use one hand. But sign language, she couldn't, that wasn't going to be enough. Her daughter wasn't ever going to be able to talk. However, someone said to her mother, they said, why don't you try equine therapy to help Stephanie's motor skills? Well, she said, what have we got to lose? So they decided to work with animals because Stephanie loved them. So they had 3-year-old Stephanie on a horse, and she was thrilled. Well, this was really a great help for her mother because when she saw, how would you feel if a 3-year-old started just feeling wonderful and excited about being on a horse? Well, this was the beginning. Stephanie's muscles were strengthened so much by working with horses under the assistance of a developmental therapy expert. And she began walking more and more. And also what happened is that this child started to develop a tremendous determination. She started making gestures. She just would just be so determined about everything she wanted to do. Well, this young lady, as she was growing up, Stephanie, she ended up being a part of a 4-H club, met other kids, and she just realized that her daughter, Donna realized her daughter was able to communicate with animals in a very special way, and they found a device called Liberator that had a pencil light, infrared light. Stephanie was able to make words and images appear on a screen by using it. And because of using a voice module, she eventually was able to talk. Now, this is a 17-year-old girl who now is an honor student, and she's on her way to college. And Donna said, my daughter Stephanie taught me never to sell anybody short, that each of us is more capable than we believe, and that what makes us different is actually what makes us special. I leave you with that thought because you are special. You are different. You're your own unique person. And I'd like for you to remember that you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday, bright, sassy, and ready to go. Have a great one. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.